are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, hello, my friends. It is a pleasure to be with you today, Monday, May 9th. And I am so happy that the sun is shining here in the Philadelphia area and that we have some warmth after a very rainy, cold weekend. And I pray that this month of May that we will all celebrate our Blessed Mother in a very special way, a very special way. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Do not be impatient in prayer. Do not neglect to give alms. Do not laugh at a man when he is sad of heart, for he who brings him low can lift him high. Do not draw up a lying indictment against your brother. Do not do it against a friend either. Mind you tell no lies, for no good can come of it. And do not make long-winded speeches in the gathering of elders, and do not repeat yourself at your prayers. Do not shirk wearisome labor or farm work, which the Most High created. This is from Ecclesiasticus 7, verses 10 through 15. Ecclesiasticus. The Lord placed that on my heart before preparing the program today. I'm going solo again, and we were talking 2 weeks ago about some very powerful topics, and I received some good feedback. So I really sensed in prayer that the Lord wanted me to continue with it. So my friends, you know, you may have 5,000 areas in your life right now that need fixing, 5,000 of them, but the Holy Spirit will point out one area and say, hey, we'll work on this, one area. So when we allow him to guide us in the following steps and begin to face things in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, may we be docile children in the hands of a loving God. So let us all go who are listening right now in humble trust as we get in touch with our feelings. We invite the Holy Spirit into the feelings. We consider an example from sacred scripture. We read how one person handled similar feelings. We bring the feelings to God, and we listen to what God may have to say to us. We pray for others with similar struggles, and we begin to praise God. So are you ready for this journey? Are you ready for this journey today? I pray that you are, because we covered many things 2 weeks ago, and today we're going to talk about, first and foremost, when you feel resentful. So the scripture to write down is Jeremiah 12, verse 1. You are always righteous, O Lord, when I bring a case before you. Yet I will speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? Jeremiah 12. Verse 1. So, my friends, what does resentment feel like you today? What does it feel like? Are you bitter? Are you embittered? Are you hostile? Are you revengeful? Are you indignant, irate? Are you angry? Are you annoyed? Are you really irritated, spiteful, grudging, jealous, envious? Are you boiling over? Are you touchy and testy and cynical? Are you unforgiving and defensive and accusatory? So what else? I can't think of a person that could go through one day, without sensing some level of resentfulness and having to hand it over to God. So let's invite the Holy Spirit into this resentment. So whether you believe or you're claiming you have any, let's talk about that. So let us pray together. Father God, In humble trust, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit into these emotions and into my habit of resentment. What do you want me to understand, Lord, today? What do you want me to heal? What do you want to heal, Lord? Help me to acknowledge my feelings right now, whether I'm in Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, South America, Maryland, Pennsylvania. Help me acknowledge my feelings at this moment and respond in a way that pleases you, Lord. I give you permission to heal me today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We talked about the prodigal son, about 2 weeks ago. So truthfully, God, you know, are you telling him today that you resent when things aren't fair? We're very human, aren't we? I mean, we're so human. Do you resent it when things aren't fair? Now, I want you to think about one specific event or incident at work, at home, in your family, on the road right now. Do you feel like the older brother who refused to join in because it wasn't fair in the story of the prodigal son? So ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask him to show you what needs changing in your life. And ask him to teach you to listen to your truth more than your feelings. And thank him for your patience. Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Psalm 19, verses 12 through 13. So I want you to think about that resentful moment right now. I brought this up 2 weeks ago, but the Lord wanted it brought up today because there is someone listening right now that feels like they're being choked with resentment, unfairness, ready to blow open. So I'm going to pray for you, my friend. Lord God, you are their strength and their healing. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over any bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. Forgive them, God, and help them forgive others. If there are family habits, I'm going to read that again. If there are family habits of resentment, may they now cease. Let the love in their hearts be so strong that they can't nurse resentment for long. Thank you for touching any bitter roots of the listeners right now, or deeper levels of resentment. If unhealthy vows were made, please, Lord, help them to see and reverse them. And Father, please heal their thought right now, their thought life, and let them not compare themselves with others or harbor envious thoughts. Give them a generous heart that celebrate the victories of others and believe the best in spite of appearances. Come, Holy Spirit, pour out your love. In Jesus' name I pray. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Now, no matter where you're at, lay down that resentment as a love offering and sing to Jesus. Ask him for the gift of praise right now. Raise your arms and welcome his holy presence. And with reverence, begin to adore your Savior. He has done so many great things for you. He has. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. So, Lord Jesus, what about the listeners right now who feel stuck? How many of us go through the day or the week or the month or the year, and we get in these feelings of being stuck? Raise your hand. When you feel stuck, I want you to turn to Psalm 69, verses 1 to 3. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. Do you know, have you read that scripture? Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths, where there is no foothold. I've come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. Psalm 69, verses 1 through 3. This is the stuck scripture, where we get stuck in a mindset or in a relationship or in a workplace event or something in the neighborhood or our family. So what does it feel like to be stuck? Do you know? If I had a call-in program, you could call in and tell me. You feel confined, you're limited, you're restricted, you feel like you're hemmed in, you're captive. You feel like there's no way out. You're tied down. You're imprisoned. You're bottled up. You're compulsive. You're addicted. And sometimes you're in bondage. So what else? Okay, let's invite the Holy Spirit into those feelings of being stuck today. Father God, pray with me. In humble trust, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit into this bondage and my past history of being stuck. What prevents me from moving on, and help me to acknowledge my feelings and respond in a way that pleases you? I give you permission to heal me. In Jesus' name, I pray. In Jesus' name, I pray. I can't think of a person in my spiritual journey over 40 plus years who hasn't come in prayer and said, I feel stuck. I really feel stuck. Well, how about when you feel sorrowful? So it's not just about someone dying. Perhaps you're grieving a relationship. You're grieving your finances. You're grieving something you see in your family or your work environment. I love to pray the sorrowful mysteries when I feel sorrowful. It is my go-to prayer when I'm feeling down and out. So here's a scripture I want you to reflect upon. Psalm 13, verse 2. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long? How many of us ask the Lord, come on, Lord, I've had enough of this sorrow. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? So you know what sorrow feels like. It's sadness. You feel depressed, melancholy. You're heavy-hearted. You're crushed. You may be heartsick today. You may be mourning. You may be really pitiful. So what else? Okay, as we've been talking about, invite the Holy Spirit into your sorrow right now. Father God, in humble trust, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit into this sorrow and past experiences of sorrow. What do you want me to understand about sorrow, Lord? What do you want to heal? Help me acknowledge the grief and respond in a way that pleases you. I give you permission to heal me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Bring your feelings to God. So maybe you feel like a lost soul today, all alone. You're gray all over. Be specific about your grief. Say it right now. Lord, this is what I'm feeling. Please hold me, Lord, close to your heart. Now, I want you to record, because this is a scripture, record my lament. List my tears in your scroll at Psalm 56, verse 8. Thank you for not letting me stay buried in my grief, Lord, and thank you for calling me out of the tomb of sorrows and for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Why would I go about mourning? Send forth your light and your truth and let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy, holy mountain. Psalm 43, verse 2 to 3. And the Lord says, beloved, come to me in a docile, teachable spirit. Your tears, Pat, Joe, Frank, Linda, your tears are precious to me. I am familiar with sorrow. Surrender your grief to me, and I will help you walk through it. Keep your heart open and receive my comfort. I love you. Now, how does that make you feel? I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness, and I will build you up again. You will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful. That's from Jeremiah 31. Verses 3 to 4. It's not something I'm making up. Now, can you let go of this sorrow? Can you let go of feeling stuck? Sometimes it becomes our identity that we need to be sorrowful or stuck or full of despair because that's all we talk about. And this is when the Lord wants to free us. If it becomes a point of pleasure for you that you love to tell the story of sorrow or grief, then we have a problem. And this is when you need to invite the Holy Spirit to free you from that. Give your sorrow to the Lord, my friends, as a love offering. Sing to him through your sadness and raise your arms again in an act of surrender and praise the Lord. Scripture tells us, weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. I'm going to read that again. It's very powerful. Sacred Scripture tells us, weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. Did you know that joy can also come through the morning, not morning like daytime morning, but M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. So when you're focusing on Jesus, rivers of his sweet presence will flow over you and you will begin to be healed. See, the Lord has plans for you. So you didn't just tune into this radio station today by accident or anytime. The Lord has plans for you. And in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 12, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to bring harm to you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You see, my friends, because Jesus is the answer to everything holding you down right now. Not the bank, not your spouse, not your kids. Jesus is the answer to everything holding you down, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. And each time you come to him, I want you to take a moment and ask the Lord to bring to mind one feeling he wants to deal with. One feeling, not the laundry list, just one. So let us invite the Holy Spirit right now into these feelings. Father God, in humble trust, I ask you to bring me into the truth you want for me today. What do you want me to understand and what do you want me to heal? What do you want to heal in me? Come into my defense system and show me what needs to come to light. I give you permission to heal me. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Prayer is so powerful, especially intercessory prayer or community prayer, prayer group prayer, very, very powerful. So right now, maybe some of you are at a crossroads, want to be right with the Lord in the secret places of your soul. And you want a life rich in love and goodness, and you want your truth in life. And things are not truth, and there's nothing in the face of truth that the Lord doesn't know. Your truth is Jesus, who died on the cross for you, descended into hell, was raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. He took your sin and my sin, our guilt and fear, our punishment and suffering, to the grave with him. He rose and gave us life in exchange. Now, are you ready to accept everything Jesus has done for you? Even if you accepted it before, accept it now in a fresh, new way. Because you're standing at the crossroads. You're choosing the path for your life that keeps you closest to Jesus. Now, let's thank him. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Dear God, thank you for helping me the way you're helping others. Thank you for helping all of us give your life to everyone in deeper ways than ever before. And thank you for healing the secrets in the souls of the listeners right now that they have not even revealed to their closest trusted loved one. In Jesus' name, I pray. See, my friends, there are people who bring out the best in us, and there are people who bring out the worst. And you may be saying today, why is it that I always encounter the people who bring out the worst in me? Guess what? We need them both. People who bring out the best strengthen us. And people who bring out the worst force us to face things we want to hide. Wait, did you hear that? People who bring out the best strengthen us. And people who bring out the worst force us to face things we want to hide. That's the secrets. Let's thank God for both. So can you thank God right now at this moment for both? It's very, very important. I want you to thank God for the deep, gutted secrets in your soul. The deep, because you may have over 5,000 areas in your life that need fixing at this moment during this radio broadcast, but the Holy Spirit will point out one area, if you ask, and say, Joe, Frank, Mary, Linda, Pat, we're going to work on this one today. We're going to work on this one. Remember, we talked about that at the beginning of the program. Now, how many of us remember the story of the Velveteen Rabbit? Do you remember that story? I haven't heard anything about the Velveteen Rabbit probably in 20 years. And it was one of my favorite children's stories to read to my girls. And as many of you know, it's a classic tale about a toy rabbit that is loved into becoming real. And it loses its fur and its buttons from being loved and petted. But it becomes real in the loving. Now, Jesus wants us loved into real. And God's love takes away the fear of being real and helps us accept and enjoy ourselves the way he created us to be. That's right. Loving us into becoming real. So how many of us do not feel real today? How many of us listening right at this very moment are suffering? You know, I was thinking about Mother's Day yesterday and how many people are infertile or could never have children, no matter what age you are, or you're suffering because your family is far away and distant or they couldn't visit you. And the loneliness of Mother's Day for so many. And, you know, it's important to pray for our brothers and sisters who do not encounter the joy on these special holidays or feast days. It's important for us to love them into the real. I want you to remember that line. Love them into the real and love yourself into the real. Maybe you need to read the old story of the classic tale of the Velveteen Rabbit again. Love yourself into the real. So I wanted to share with you 2 weeks ago, and the Lord took me in another direction, some excerpts from my book, In the Whisper of the Wind, Does God Really Hear Me? Real Life Stories of Hope and God's Timing. He led me to this, more than 10 years ago. And I self-published and had professional designers on the cover and the back jacket, and it sold out. I could not believe it sold out, and I never thought about a second or third printing. I just thought, well, you know, I'll make a little legacy box and put this in and share this with my friends and some of the stories. But the Lord placed it on my heart. Because people are saying, are you going to write another book about what God has done in your life, especially through this radio network, very powerful radio network? So I really prayed. There are different chapters and different stories. And the story that I love the best is called A Priest from Austria Calls. And I'm going to read it to you because it relates to being stuck and being sorrowful. And how God responds to prayers in unique ways. He is going to respond to you today. He is. I know this beyond the shadow of a doubt. No matter who you are, where you are today, God wants to infuse the Holy Spirit in your life in a very powerful way. So I will begin this story read from my book called In the Whisper of the Wind, A Priest from Austria Calls. After making the torture self-pity statement, the phone rang, and it was a priest friend who was on pilgrimage in Medjugorje. He called me directly from Medjugorje after Mass, since an image of my face flashed before him during the consecration of the Mass. This is a priest from Austria, a Vatican diplomat who worked with Mother Teresa for many, many years, traveled with her, was one of her spiritual directors. This is a priest from Austria, Father Leo Masberg, who I had not heard from in years. So I told him the story about praying for a paid rest. I was working 60 hours a week, and I prayed, Lord, can I have a paid rest? And he laughed, saying he would give me all of his prayer petitions since the Lord answers my prayers so quickly. He gave me a prayer. Prayerful paid rest, to my surprise. But anyway, Father Leo laughed. He saw my face on the altar in Medjugorje. He had worked and traveled with Mother Teresa for years, and he espoused her spirituality with such love. And to think he would pray for me in a small hamlet in Medjugorje the same day I broke my ankle was unbelievable. So after a long conversation with Father Leo, I sat in the chair wondering what in the world I would do in returning to work. My office was on the second floor of a building, and it didn't have an elevator. Plus, the doctor wanted me to keep the leg elevated for 2 weeks and not to put weight on it. So my left ankle was in an air cast, and I couldn't put weight on the right ankle because it hadn't healed from the previous year when it was broken. The other ankle was broken too, by the way. So somehow I knew the Lord was in control and changes were about to happen. So when my husband returned from the hospital, he sat down for a rest. The phone rang and it was his mother's doctor. He told him she had pneumonia and a blood clot. And my husband told the doctor she was complaining of head pain. Not to worry, said the doctor. Worry is my husband's middle name. He was suffering from worry about his beloved mother. And my ankle certainly wasn't the priority. So the next morning was Sunday, and I couldn't move from the lounge chair. The phone rang, and it was the hospital telling my husband that his mother had suffered a severe brain hemorrhage. The neurosurgeon explained if they didn't operate immediately, she would die by mid-afternoon. My husband gave permission to operate, and he headed to the hospital with our married daughter. Our other daughter was away from home for the weekend, about 2 hours away. She immediately headed to the hospital, too. So my husband's mother survived the surgery and was placed on the ventilator. She was in critical condition, and the neurosurgeon was cautiously hopeful. When my husband came home from the hospital, he was exhausted. We both knew the chance for her recovery was slim. It was a time of familial suffering, and prayer became the glue which held us all together. Now, with all the concern about my mother-in-law, my husband graciously drove me to a foot and ankle surgeon that day. And after our break, my friends, I will tell you the amazing story of how the Lord intervened and all the people that he brought together. So stay tuned. We have so much more to cover.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese. We thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done. And today we're covering In the Whisper of the Wind and some of the secrets that keep us stuck in the mud and how we are not free in the Holy Spirit. So I'm sharing some excerpt from my book from years ago, In the Whisper of the Wind, and how when I was stuck in the mud, what the Lord did in prayer. And as he really led me to really bring this back today, because someone needs to hear this story for faith. So remember, we talked about Father Leo Mosberg, and I had asked for paid rest because I was working 60 hours a week, doing retreats, working full time, and I was exhausted. And so I broke my leg, and Father Leo saw my face again. A recap. At the consecration in Medjugorje at St. James Church. And then he called me after that and said, I'm going to ask you to pray for my special intentions. But anyway, so within a period of 1 week of being confined to a chair and in a cast in our home, the Lord started to prepare my husband for the death of his beloved mother. 3 days before Cass died, her name was Catherine, or Cass, I was unexpectedly awakened during the middle of the night. The Lord said, prepare her for the journey home and call Father Stephen DeLacy. Yes, actually said, call Father Stephen DeLacy. Now, this was a serious marching order from the Lord. He wanted her soul to be prepared to meet him by awakening me in the middle of the night. In the early morning, I called Father DeLacy at a local high school where he taught theology. Pray for me not to lose my voice here. I informed him of what happened during the night, and he immediately headed to the hospital. Disobeying the doctor's orders, I hobbled into intensive care with my husband and Father DeLacy. Now, Cass was on a ventilator, and her eyes were sealed shut. Father DeLacy celebrated all of the sacraments, including the sacrament of confirmation. She became a Roman Catholic on her deathbed, receiving all the sacraments of the church a few days before she died. Although she couldn't speak, she waved her arm to our friend, Father Stephen DeLacy, acknowledging that she could hear him. We gave her the confirmation name of Teresa after the little fat flower. It was a powerful time of observing the power of the priesthood for us. Now, after leaving the sterile hospital room, the primary care physician for Cass greeted us outside the intensive care unit. He grimaced when he saw a priest leaving the room, since we visited during the off hours. With great joy in my heart, I exclaimed to the doctor, Cass just became a Catholic by desire. The physician looked at me with confusion, sharing how he had never heard of this in his Catholic upbringing. Quote, yes, she had the desire to become a Catholic after my father died, but was afraid to take the classes, said my husband with tears in his eyes. Cass raised both of her children as a Roman Catholic. They attended Mass with her husband of 50 years, and she never received Holy Communion during this time. So 2 days after her conversion to the Catholic faith, Cass was placed on hospice care in an inpatient hospital unit. When she was transferred from intensive care to the hospital unit, the primary care doctor visited us in her new room to explain Cass's medical challenges. He proceeded to tell us, as the tears fell down our cheeks, that when he left Cass's room after he saw Father Stephen DeLacy, he immediately went to the pastoral care minister of the hospital to share the story of her conversion to the Catholic faith. In turn, Cardinal Anthony Bevilacqua had just walked into the pastoral care office asking if anyone in the hospital needed the last rites or a special blessing. The pastoral care minister shared the bedside conversion story of Cass with the cardinal. The cardinal in turn visited Cass and welcomed her into the Catholic faith. This was another grace-filled moment given to our family in the midst of great suffering and sadness. God is always watching and waiting for us to ask for his assistance, even to the moment of our death. For you see, it says in Philippians 4, 6 verses to 8, there is no need to worry, but if there is anything you need, pray for it, asking God for it with prayer and thanksgiving. And that peace of God, which is so much greater than we can understand, will guard your heart and your thoughts in Jesus Christ. There are so many stories in this book of how the Lord took the 60 hours of work and the exhaustion and kept creating these miracles in people's lives. But I wanted to tell you the story of, in mid-June 2010, the phone rang again, and it was Gloria Anson, founder and president of the Sacred Heart Apostolate in Solvay, New York, which is outside of Syracuse. As a new friend, Gloria had heard about the passing of my mother-in-law, wondering why I answered the telephone at home during the middle of the day. So I told her the story of Cass's conversion on her deathbed and my special prayer of asking the Lord for a period of rest. Now, towards the end of our conversation, she surprised me with a spontaneous prayer. Little did I know Gloria had powerful prophetic gifts of discernment, and boy, were they powerful. During this prayer time, she shared a prayerful vision of me being handed a white envelope from the Lord with a set of instructions. Then she shared how she saw a picture of me lying on the beach with the waves crashing all around me. The Lord summoned me out of the sand. I turned around and saw a deep imprint of my body. And she said, get ready. Oh, boy, at the right moment, the Lord's going to call you. And when you leave, you will leave behind a huge imprint of your presence in this work. It was a memorable, peaceful prayer experience over the telephone with Gloria. And I knew the Lord was beginning to prepare me for another journey. It was important for me to rest. After all, I had the broken leg in a chair, and to listen and to ask for intercessory prayer from my family and friends. So 2 weeks after the telephone call, I returned to my office on the second floor of an office building. I crawled up the steps to the office, And then I'm going to skip a part here because of time. 1 month after this prayer experience with Gloria and my return and crawling up the steps to work, a little elderly Dominican nun visited my office to chat, and many of you may know her today who are listening, Sister Maria Diamante from the Dominican Retreat House, if you may remember her. So we had become friends over the past 2 years, sharing faith stories over the telephone and through emails. And she absolutely loved St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower. On occasion, she would send a note to my office with a live rose petal in it to encourage me to intensify my prayer life. Her visit was a welcome gift on a hot summer day. We chatted about the dissolution of her beloved retreat house, where she lived and worked for years. And so before leaving my office, she pulled a small maroon-colored case from her Dominican habit. She handed me the case and said, "I want you to have this. It's a first-class relic of St. Therese of Lisieux. This means so much to me, and I want you to have it," she said. I accepted the gift with joy, knowing the Lord was providing additional signs to me in this new journey that was unfolding. To me, Sister Maria was one who understood the crooked lines in which Jesus sometimes writes. So one day, after our delightful visit, Sister Maria approached my husband, asking him to deliver a note to me in my office. She was busy in another building, providing spiritual direction to Dominican sisters. She told my husband, "Look, before retiring to bed that previous evening, I was inspired to write a note to Anne on a piece of scrap paper left in my room. My husband delivered the note to me. I quickly read it and placed it in my day planner for safekeeping. Now, 2 nights after receiving the relic and note from Sister Maria, I was awakened at 3 a.m. with a voice saying, "Sister Maria gave you the white envelope you were expecting." I was astounded to be awakened and to hear those words and thoughts. Perhaps I was dreaming. And around 6:45 a.m., while eating breakfast with my husband, he said, "You know, I was awakened around 3 a.m., and I was told to tell you that you received the white envelope from Sister Maria." This is so unlike my husband, since he rarely believes in all these signs. If I had told my husband of the words the Lord had given me during the night, he probably would have not believed them. The Lord had a sense of humor and gave him the exact words that he gave me. This was truly miraculous. I dropped my spoon into the cereal bowl and looked at him with such surprise. "I received the white envelope and didn't even know this," I shrieked. The trip to work was filled with joy. I couldn't wait to read the note again and to look at the envelope which accompanied it. Once again, struggling to get up the steps at work with my cast and thumping down the hallway, I unlocked the office and flopped into my large chair. Flipping through the pages of my day planner and all the notes stuck on various pages, I had some difficulty finding the note. Laughing at my lack of organization, I found the note tucked into the overlap of the day planner. Scribbled on note paper, tucked into a number 10 white business envelope, Sister Maria had written a personal note about living a life of holiness to me. There is nothing in it about leaving or staying in my place of employment back then, but I did get the white envelope prophesied by Gloria Anson in June 2010, thanks to Sister Maria being God's special messenger. I called Gloria Anson in New York immediately and told her about this amazing series of events that she had prophesied. For both of us, the timeline was beginning to unfold, and my heart was so full on alert as to what the Lord wanted next. In the meantime, it was impossible for me to continue in my present job working hard and trusting in the Lord's presence. Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only he can see. Corrie Ten Boom wrote those words. So I want to tell you that I did leave my job, which I prayed about for several years, because I had a sensing that he wanted me to do something different. So after I received the white envelope and the first-class relic from Sister Maria Diamante, I called Gloria Anson saying, "Hey, the pieces of my life are moving so fast based on that prophetic word you had." So she decided to call her spiritual director, Monsignor John Essef, for discernment for me. Monsignor Essef worked with Mother Teresa in Lebanon, and he's a retired exorcist. He travels the globe providing formation to priests. He also gives retreats to the missionaries of charity globally. So at the time, Gloria called him in Washington, D.C., as he was giving a retreat to priests. So Gloria told Monsignor Essif about her desire for me to work with her. At first, she thought he wasn't listening. He was silent. Then he answered her by saying, "Yes, she's been called by God, the Father, to do this work for now." He said, "For now." Excuse me. So he said a few other words, which will remain private. So Gloria called me immediately after her telephone call with Monsignor Essif and shared the news. I sat at my desk speechless. A special grace filled my heart, which is impossible to articulate even now. Suddenly, I felt as if someone had placed me in a tightly knitted, peaceful cocoon. Peace permeated every fiber of my being. Truly a grace-filled moment. And that evening, in the quiet of our home, I shared the story of Gloria Monsignor Essif with my husband. Gloria called to speak directly with my husband on the telephone, sharing the exact words from Monsignor Essif. Now, as a married couple, it was vital for the two of us to be in agreement together in this decision. He knew I would not be paid for doing this work, and for him, this was total foolishness. For me, it was a challenge and the call of a lifetime. How could I turn this down? With great surprise, my husband looked down at his hands, turned to me, and said yes to the invitation for me to leave my job. And the next morning in my office, I resigned. Now, I went from a paying job, my friends, to a pro bono for over 2 years, setting up the first Sacred Heart World Congress in Paray-le-Monial, France. Yes, the first Sacred Heart World Congress in Paray-le-Monial, France. So the discussion with Gloria Anson started to take form. And how could I ever interpret her vision for every continent in the world being enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Now, I want to tell you, this is in my book. This is a woman who once told her bishop she needed to build a conference on the Sacred Heart with only a few dollars and a cigar box. She always expected the unexpected, since she lives and breathes the graces of the Sacred Heart. So her bishop said yes, she only had a few dollars. And this is what happened in Syracuse, New York. He said yes, she sought permission, she had a few dollars in the cigar box, and then the Lord provided the rest. So this is part of my story. There are many, many stories that I would like to share with you from time to time, because people have asked me, what is your story? And I keep saying, well, it's in a book, the first part of the book. And to me, someone needed to hear this story today. You see, I still am nothing. And God heard the prayers of my suffering, my sorrowful heart, when I was stuck in the mud. And I shared with a friend just last week, every single week for 2 to 3 years on a Wednesday, I went to confession in my parish. After leaving my job and driving home, I went to confession every Wednesday to this particular priest so I could be docile enough to know what God wanted in my job and in my life. You see, I was incredibly imperfect, and I was resentful, and I needed to confess this to clear the pathway for the Lord of what he wanted in my life. So my original spiritual director years and years ago when I was in my 20s challenged me, and he said, "I want you always to pray for your purity of intention." So if you believe that God is calling you to something, you have to test the purity of your intention. And I remember being astounded by that. And it has been my benchmark for making many decisions. Do I want to do this to become famous? Do I want to do this so I can stay home? Do I want to do this to be lazy? You know, what is it, Lord? What is my benchmark? Test your purity of intention. If this is from the Lord, he said, you'll know. And you won't have to look for signs and wonders to make this happen. It will just happen. And I will tell the story in the coming weeks of how the Lord used me to co-produce Marian Apparitions of the 20th Century with Ricardo Montalban and five other major documentaries, The Father's Gift and many more that are seen around the world. And I didn't have a dime. I didn't have a dime. And how God provided everything. I booked shoots, video shoots on my credit card, hired a crew with no money to pay, just did it. And how God provided every last dime, every dime for me to do that. So today someone needed to hear this, that God is far greater than the walls that are surrounding you, where you feel you're stuck, you're sorrowful, you're in despair. The walls are so tall and you think, I can't make it. Perhaps you're really sick in the hospital, or you've been given bad news from the doctor. But there is a way. He, meaning Jesus, wants your heart, and Our Lady wants our heart. You see, an old friend of mine who passed away from Ogden, Utah, who had a Eucharistic miracle, and it's in one of my videos called The Father's Gift. And I was trying to write the script, and I was studying Thomas Aquinas and my friend Fiorella De Ferrari. She was the first woman to graduate from Gregorian University in Rome in social communications. And she's sending me all this material from Thomas Aquinas to study about the Holy Eucharist. And my dear friend, Father Larry Sweeney in Ogden, Utah, said, called me up one night and he had a cigar in his mouth. I could tell. And he said, Ann, dear, stop studying and start praying. And I will never forget it. And it's a whole chapter in the book. Stop studying and start praying. And National Geographic became involved with me in producing this video, The Father's Gift and Marian Apparitions. I never had a dime or contacts at National Geographic, and how God moved mountains. I had nothing. So you see, my friends, no matter how hard it is for you today, how hard it is, the Lord will give you strength. Because when you experience nothingness and powerlessness, this is when He sends forth the Holy Spirit to accompany and lead you to where He wants you. This is where He will take you. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is for you. This message is for you. And I pray with all my heart, that God touches your heart in a special way, that you will embrace the dream that He has for you. That you will embrace the dream. See, it was all through this suffering that the Lord placed me in situations where television documentaries were produced, radio networks were created, radio programs were created, retreats were created, a book was created. I had nothing. I had nothing, and He took care of it. But most importantly, the saints that have crossed my way, I thank God every day for these saints, and I pray for you to encounter these saints in your life. And I want to pray this prayer from my friend, Father Larry Hess, who passed away years ago. Heavenly Father, I call on you right now in a special way. It is through your power that I was created. Every breath I take, every morning I wake, and every moment of every hour I live under your power. Father, I ask you now to touch me with that same power. For if you created me from nothing, you can certainly recreate me. Fill me with the healing power of your Holy Spirit. Cast out anything that should not be in me. Mend what is broken. Root out any unproductive cells and open any blocked arteries or veins and rebuild any damaged areas. Remove all inflammation and cleanse any infection. Let the warmth of your healing love pass through my body to make new any unhealthy areas so that my body will function the way you created it to function. And Father, restore me to full health in mind, body, and spirit, so I may serve you the rest of my life. I ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. You see, Father, Larry Hess would be part of this new story of how when I first met him, he had cancer. And I said, Father, you go to hospitals and you pray with people who have healing services. They're healed. Why aren't you healed? He laughed. He called me El Capitan. El Capitan, I don't know God's will. I said, but you pray for people to be healed, and they're healed, and you're not. And again, he laughed. And he just laughed. He didn't really have a response. And I learned that sometimes we don't have the answers to our prayers, and we're confused. And we just need to smile, raise our hands, and praise God for all that he has done for us, past, present, and future, and to thank his beloved Mother Mary. This is why we need this radio network, my friends. We are in such confusing times. We need hope, and there is such confusion. We've been talking about this for a year. We need hope, and this Catholic radio network provides a solid pathway of hope and formation and testimonials, really good people behind the scenes. Please help us to keep this on the air. Please help to spread the word about this amazing Catholic radio network. And I believe that it's over 50 years that it's been on the air. Kathleen still has to check it. You know, one of the commercials says over 30 or 40, but it's really up near 50. Consecutive years. It's a volunteer network. No investors, no trustees. It's not paid for by the church. It's paid by the widow's mite. And God's holy word keeps it afloat. So I really beg of you to not only pray for this radio network, but to support it, even if you have a dollar. Even if you have a dollar, God wants this radio network to continue. And friends, next week we're going to be talking about all the wonderful things that are happening. And I want to share about Eddie Moe's upcoming prayer meeting in St. Norbert's and the amazing lineup that he has. Now, Eddie discovered this network, and he knows the power of this network. Farmer, all the people, the wonderful people in South Philly, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, and all throughout the world. And tomorrow, Kathleen will be on live on Facebook from 4 to 6. If you want a prophetic experience, as I've shared with you today, make sure you tune in through Facebook. Watch Kathleen as she is sharing the prophetic word the Lord has given her. Watch her turn to the camera, and she's not reading a thing. Watch her. Just watch her. She is such a loving servant of the Lord, and she wants all of us to love the Lord like she does. That's her only agenda. She doesn't have an agenda for anything else. So, my friends, until next Monday, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And know that you are loved. You are loved. And stay tuned for Joe Trainer. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope. I know you see.